great camp song. Keep singing that.
Camp song.
Men's song. Let's sing this song.
Stand up.
Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. These soldiers of the cross. This eye is royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall be. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict, in this his glorious day, he that our men now serve in, against a numbered foe, that courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose.
Yeah. before. So I think if you heard us, you just kind of joined in there. And I know you'll enjoy this one. Praise God, brother. There you go. Go like this.
Joshua, faithful and was training to be a leader, but he did not know just what God had planned. So he memorized the word of God and trusted in God's plan. That's what it took to free those saints as they headed for the promised land. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. God is looking for some leaders who would strive to pass each test, so they can make their way to prosper and give them great success. Joshua, a faithful man, he lives as the leader, but he did not know how low turning goes. He took and obeyed his orders and followed each command. That's what it takes to be used of God and yielded to his hand. In this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Looking for some leaders who would strive to pass each test, for me to get make their way to prosper and give them great success. Joshua, a faithful man, he had to face the pressure, but he did not know how testing fills a man. The call of God is to view the world beyond the giants we see, and shut our mouths, go up at once, and see the victory. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou art looking for some leaders who would strive to pass each test, so he can make their way to prosper and give them great success. Faced the challenge, but he did not know that faith would be so hard. The river and the giants could be easily swept aside, but the hardest fight he stayed right back closer to God's side. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For some leaders who were trying to pass each test, we can make their way to prosper and give them great success. So God can make your way to prosper and give you great success.
Hey, all right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is so exciting.
Calls from the loyal soldiers comes to one and all. Soldiers for the conflict, will you heed the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer?
Yes, Jesus calls for soldiers who live with power. Soldiers who will serve him day and hour. He will not forsake you, he is ever near. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? And when the war is over and the victory won, when the true and faithful gather one by one, he will crown. was a soldier true. Others haven't missed it, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer?
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're just starting. But God, we can't go anywhere without you. Amen. Lord, we were like that lost sheep. We didn't know where up was. And God, you came looking for us. All we needed to do was say, I'm over here. Lord, we're over here now. We need you to come to us. We need you to meet with us. I need you to speak through me. I need you to take over. God, it's your business now.
Amen.
So bless the preaching of your word, but more importantly, bless the hearing of your word, God, tonight. There's so many hearts, so many conflicts. Some people in this room just on the edge. Discouragement, frustration, problems at home. God, we need to hear from you. Lord, we're men, but we are not men of steel. We are nothing but flesh and bone. God, we get stuck sometimes, and I pray you'd unstuck us. Lord, you'd raise us up all the way up on that rock. Lord, you'd give us a vision and a purpose and a course to chart. And God, just one foot in front of another, let us do your will. Lord, we don't want to conquer Ireland. We just want to do your will. We don't want to set our sights too far. We just want to look to thee and just follow you each step. The steps of a good man are just ordered by the Lord. If you would order our lives, every young person, every old person. God, if you just tell us what to do tonight, we'd be pleased. Just tell us what to do and how to do it, and then enable us. We can't do it without you, so bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 15. I'll show you a very unique verse. Romans chapter 15. Some of you wonder, why are we in the Old Testament? Why are we looking at the book of Joshua? What's this guy Joshua got to do with anything in the New Testament? Well, let's look in your Bible. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime. That's a good word. It just means long ago. Back before. Whatever things were written aforetime were written for our what?
Learning.
For our learning. So God expects you to learn something. They were written for our learning, that we, through patience, and I love these words, and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Some of you burned out, messed up, discouraged, because you haven't found the comfort of the Scriptures. You're looking for the comfort that you used to think you had in a bottle. You're looking for the comfort you used to think you had in a television. You're looking for the comfort you used to think you had in your friends. I'm going to tell you, there's comfort in that book you hold in your hands. Amen. And it comes when you learn to patiently wait on God, because God does not fail. Amen. Now, the goal of this retreat is conversion. How many of you know Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? The Bible says very clearly that ye be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right, so we're not finished yet, amen? We're not perfect yet, amen? We tried to convince our wives we were perfect when we were dating her, and then we had to let her know the truth, amen? Transformed, thoroughly converted. This, every one of our men's camps, is about change, amen? I don't want to stay the same. If you want to stay the same, I'm sorry to tell you, we're going to try to change you, amen? This is going to change you, make a tenor out of you, amen? Praise God. Folks, let me start off telling you that I want to be a faithful man. How many of you know just how unfaithful you are? I mean, if you're honest, you know you are unfaithful. Your wife finds that fault and you say, you know, but honestly, she's right.
Yeah.
We're unfaithful. I want to be faithful. But I want to challenge you to become more than faithful. I want to challenge you to be a leader. Now, that's a tall order. You see, we're in a volunteer army, amen? Just look at us. No, don't, but it gets very depressing what I have to see. But just take a look at us and realize, you know, when Jesus had those 12 men following him, they're some of the worthless, most worthless people you'd ever want to be trying to start a church with. Amen? And yet he did it. And he made leaders out of every one of them. So don't you dare get to looking so close at one another, seeing all the faults and all the impossibilities, Because God doesn't see it. Amen. God sees way beyond your fault. Amen. So I want us to start to stop making all the excuses and start saying, all right, God, whatever you want to do with me, maybe you want to make me a nobody. That'll be a good start. Amen. But whatever you want to do, just do it. Now, look, whatever you can be the best that you can be. They have a military term there in the States, you know, be the best you can be and all this stuff. But I believe that Jesus Christ did not save you to be a loser. Amen?
Amen.
He did not save you to be a loser. He wants to make something glorious out of you. Amen. When they dig up diamonds, they don't take that rock as it is and just put it on somebody's finger. Amen. They start to chip away, start to work on it, so it's gorgeous. And God's chipping away and working on you to make it something absolutely awesome out of. So we're going to talk about being leaders. You say, I've never led anything. Amen. Well, God, you don't realize how many people are following you. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Be a leader. Now, it doesn't happen automatically. I hate to inform you, but nobody is born a leader. I know a lot of people who are born rebels.
Yeah, amen.
But nobody was born a leader. All right? It doesn't happen automatically. Leaders are made. When we start to look at how a leader is made, I wanted us to look at Joshua. I think what Ireland needs is leadership. Real, godly leadership. I'm sick and tired of trying to encourage men to come to church.
Come on now, preacher.
I'd like to encourage men to lead now.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
I mean, I shouldn't have to be pulling teeth. I heard about a preacher one time who went down to the train station, and he sat down there with the evangelist. The evangelist had just come in town, and he says, this is 5 o'clock. I want to go to the train station. Would you come with me? He said, yeah, all right. So we went down to the train station. He sat there. That train didn't even stop. It just went on the train station. And he went, wow. And the evangelist looked at him and says, what's that all about? And he says, I just like to see something go without being pushed. I don't know if you got that, but a lot of the ministries in the church, you're trying to push people. Come on, come on, let's go do this, let's fix this. It's just nice to see something fly without being pushed. Amen. I want to encourage some people who not sit on the back row, but want to sit on the front row.
Amen.
I want to encourage some people who don't come in 20 minutes late, but are there 20 minutes early. Amen. I want to encourage some men to be leaders. Amen. Who will be there and say, God, I don't want to be the top dog. I just want to be a rabid dog. Amen? I just want to be somebody on fire for you.
Amen.
I used to serve the devil. I want to serve you now. Amen? I want to encourage some leaders. The greatest need, I believe, in our church is effective, godly leadership. There are plenty of Moseses here. Amen? And I appreciate the men of God who come to Ireland and who sacrifice their lives to start churches. But we need Joshuas now. All right. We need some men. When the guys who are American realize we can only go so far, that's as far as we can go. Now Joshua's got to take
Amen.
The lead. And Joshua's don't show up. They don't just show up. They've got to be made. And so this week is to help us prepare for that. We need leaders who will lead, not be led. I've seen it too many times where the guy is sitting in there with his girlfriend and they're in Claire's accessories. And the guy's getting that little fag earring and is putting in his ear.
Amen.
Because she wants it. She wants it. That boy's no more than a toy. And he'll be ashamed of himself 2 weeks later, a month later. We need some men who lead. Amen. You know, a woman doesn't want to follow a man. A woman is made to follow a man, and she doesn't want to follow a wimp. But she'll follow a man. Amen. Not a brute, not a bully, but a man. So we're going to talk about leaders who lead. Leaders who faithfully follow Jesus Christ. You know what Paul had the audacity to do? He said in 1 Corinthians 1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, a leader is not a dictator.
Amen.
A leader is a follower.
Yes, sir.
Who says, I'm just trying to follow the Lord. Follow me as I follow the Lord. That's what we're talking about. We're not trying to set up some empire. We're trying to follow Jesus Christ. All right? Now, who was this guy named Joshua? Let me get down here. Oh, let me ask you a question. Are there any Joshuas in here? I think there are. I think there are a lot of Joshuas in here. They, like Joshua, just didn't know it. Joshua was not born to lead. He's just doing his best following Moses. And then one day God said, that's a good guy. Bring Joshua and charge him. Put him in charge is what he's saying. And Joshua went, me? Me? Amen. That's how it works. And there are men in this room. You need to be so close to God and to your pastor that God can say, man, I got to use that guy. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're going to look for. All right. Who was Joshua? I think this is really good. Take your Bible and turn to Numbers chapter 13 now. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 8. You know what I like about men's retreat? I get to lose my voice. Amen. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 8. Let me introduce this guy named Joshua. Who is this guy named Joshua? Well, his name originally was a guy. He must have been Irish because it was O'Shea. Man.
From Hibernia.
From Numbers chapter 13 verse 8. First time you see this guy. Numbers 13 verse 8 of the tribe of Ephraim. O'Shea. It's actually pronounced O'Shea. O'Shea, the son of Nun. You didn't know Nun could have sons, but they did. At least back then, amen? Nuns have sons. All right. His name was O'Shea. That's a very unique name. Let me just stop right here. It meant save us. That's what his name originally meant. He was born while Israel was in bondage to slavery in Egypt. His parents named him as a plea to God to save his people out of bondage. And bondage is what it was. They were not free. They had walked into Egypt. If you know the story, 400 years earlier, they went down to Egypt where there was bread. They went down to Egypt where there was water, where there was food, where there was appreciation, when everybody there in Pharaoh's palace looked up to the Jews. They welcomed the Jews, but within a few short years, they became enslaved by Egypt. And isn't that true about the pub? Oh, they will welcome you. Oh, they will make you feel welcome. And in a few drinks, you're hooked. Amen. When your friends, inverted commas, came along and they welcomed you and encouraged you to take that first drag on that cigarette. And they did just a big welcome to you. Now he's really cool. Now you're really cool. But then a few weeks later, you're enslaved. Yeah. Doesn't the devil work that way? They were not free now. They were in bondage. They were wishing for God to save them, just like you sat down, and many of you, with those cans and with those pints and with those bottles and those pills. You were wishing, God, could you fix me? Could you save me? You were crying out, O'Shea, O'Shea, save us, save us. Joshua was a slave, and he was the son of a slave. 400 years of history of slavery. Some people say it's a curse. My daddy was a drunkard. I'm a drunkard. And I'm watching my teenage boy become a drunkard. Did you know there is no... Listen, it does not have to keep going. Amen. It can be broken. Amen. Amen. Praise God. There's no generational curse when Jesus is involved. Amen. Amen. Joshua was born a slave. It was a long history. And then came Moses. Out of nowhere, this one man with his older brother Aaron at his side began to rock the Egyptian empire. Disaster after disaster would run through Egypt, and every prayer of this man named Moses brought disaster. It must have been awesome to watch Pharaoh so angry and so helpless against God's man. Amen. Within 6 weeks, 10 of the most devastating plagues rampaged through the Egyptian empire, leaving it in ruins. While a little small area, smaller than County Cork, a little small area wasn't touched.
Amen.
Darkness would engulf the empire of Egypt. 3 days of solid darkness. They couldn't even... It was a darkness that could be felt, but there was light in Goshen.
Amen.
Cattle were drying left, right, and center. Ah, but everything was fine and dandy up in Goshen. Hey, folks, when the economy's falling apart, if you stay close to God, it'll fall apart all around you. You'll be taken care of. My God promises that. Amen. You may not have a Rolls Royce. You may not have a BMW, but you'll have health. You'll have saved kids. You'll have a happy wife. That's a miracle. Amen. You'll have a church to go to. You'll have money coming in. You'll have food in your belly. God will take care of you. Amen. Then came Moses. And that one night, man, I tell you, that one night, one of the most exciting nights in all of Israel's history, at midnight, The death angel from God moved through Egypt and killed every firstborn man and animal. The only salvation from the wrath of Almighty God was through the blood of an innocent lamb. Isn't that unusual? Isn't that unique? Back there in the Garden of Eden, God said, don't eat it or you'll die. Do you know what Adam and Eve, when they did disobey God, they were supposed to die. Amen?
Yeah.
And God says, let's let the lambs die so you can live.
Praise God.
And I'll make you wear the skin so you remind yourself, so it reminds you what it costs for you to still be alive. Amen? And the lamb, the blood of that lamb, the most powerful force in the universe. You wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. You've got stuff going through your head, fears, struggles, depression, whatever. Plead the blood.
Amen.
It's still powerful. Amen? Amen? It still works. Some of you don't believe it. You don't have to. I do! Mighty Pharaoh's army could not defend his son from the plague. Throughout the empire, screams were heard from parents as they found their firstborn sons died and their livestock dead out in the fields. Joshua saw how the blood of that lamb could conquer the fiercest army.
Amen.
It was after midnight that Moses walked into that palace and Pharaoh drove him out and said, take your people and get out of here. And when Moses left that palace, you know what he was doing? Smiling. The victory's been won by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And he walked out and he says, let's get going. And at midnight, they headed out. And they didn't know where they were going. They just said, it was called the Promised Land. And Joshua saw that. You've got to get the idea. Who's this guy Joshua? He's just been freed from slavery.
Amen.
He's just, the picture in the Old Testament is salvation. Amen.
Amen.
And if you didn't get happy when you got saved, you didn't get saved.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
Good night, man. I just prayed a prayer, amen. Ask God to save me from hell. I don't know, I'm still depressed. Come on. Saved, amen. They were free. Joshua gets a new name. Look, it's still in chapter 13. Look down at verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun. He gives him a new name. What's the name?
Yeah.
Jehoshua. Now, Jehoshua, from the moment that Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt toward the Promised Land, Joshua seems to be beside Moses. He seems to stick to him like glue. I remember when I first got saved, my preacher had to actually ask me to back off. Honestly, I got on his nerves one time because I would always ask him questions. And he finally, I asked him one question one time and he says, Deuteronomy 29:29. And then he went off and I went, ooh, cool. The secret things belong unto the Lord. Took me a while before the penny dropped. He doesn't want to answer me. Maybe he doesn't know. I don't know. But Joshua seems to hang around Moses. And from the first time that Moses decided to start to use this man, he says, I can't sit here and call you this name that says, will Jesus save? Because I want you to understand, Hosea gives this idea, will God save us? Oh, God, save us. And he says, but he has saved us, so let's change your name, amen? And he changes it to Jehoshua, that the Lord will save. And the Lord will always save, amen? Jehoshua is the Lord will save. And you need to believe that, amen? You've got an unsaved wife. You got an unsaved mom. You got an unsaved son. You got an unsaved daughter. You need to believe in Jehoshua.
Amen.
The Lord will save. Amen. I still believe. Romans chapter 16, verse 31. Is it 30-31? Yes. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas answered in unison, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And listen to these words. And thy house. You need to believe your whole house can get saved because of Jehoshua.
Amen.
Amen. And he didn't stop there. Because everybody says, well, no, we can't just call him Jehoshua. Let's just call him Joshua, which simply means the Lord is Savior.
Amen.
You know what? Wouldn't it be nice to be so close to the hot activity going on in church that they just say, we can't call you depression anymore. We can't call you the drunkard anymore. We can't call you the porn addict anymore. We can't call you the heroin addict anymore. We're just going to call you happy. We're going to call you blessed. We got a guy in our church called Lucky. And Buddy Blanco came and he says, man, I wouldn't like to be called Lucky. Just call me blessed. Amen. Amen. They're changing his name. And it is a great picture here from that Joshua carries this name. And it's all because of the Lamb. You see, what God did, it affected this man named Joshua. And if your relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't change you and doesn't change what people think about you, yes, then I don't know what will work with you. I don't know. There's no counseling you need. There's repentance you need. Now, let me go on. Who is this Joshua? He was a disciple first. He was a learner. I know when you see L's on cars, you know it means lunatic. But it's actually supposed to mean learner. Amen? All right. You know what Joshua was? He was a learner. He didn't march right in, start leading. Do you understand? L doesn't mean leader. It means learner. Joshua is a great example of the result of effective discipleship. For years, Joshua followed Moses. He watched Moses as he followed God in an almost flawless manner. I don't think Joshua really, except for one time, I don't think Joshua ever thought Moses could fail. He just watched and soaked up everything Moses did. He learned from Moses how to pray. I don't know anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ who prayed like Moses. You try and pray and walk with God for 40 days without eating or drinking, yeah, and then go back up and pray another 40 days. And come down after 80 days of spending time just with God and your face shining. I tell you what, Joshua says, I'm going to pray like that man. Amen. 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 He watched Moses and he learned from Moses how to pray. He learned how to obey God. You know, one of the greatest testimonies in your Bible, it says probably 200 times, and Moses did as the Lord commanded. And Moses did as God said. And Moses did. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, obeyed God. You don't find him except one time. You don't find him a rebel. Some of us take pride in our rebellion. And it stinks to God. It stinks like your socks and your underwear and your clothes that haven't been washed in 3 weeks. It stinks to God. Joshua watched Moses. The truth is, as long as you're alive, you are learning. At least you're supposed to be. Amen? Some of you are wasting all your time only learning how to kill green people in a video game. Amen? That's the only thing you're learning. Man, look what I can do. What did you learn? Amen? Some of you are only... The only thing you learn is the next 6 months of sports, yes, plans.
That's right.
The things that men are wasting their time in learning, yes, don't match what God has given you to learn.
Amen.
Be a learner. Be a disciple. The greatest privilege you have is being able to learn how to walk with God. God does not expect you to do it automatically. Would you get it out of your head? God does not expect you to just go, oh, I'm saved. I know exactly what to do. You do not. You must learn it. You must be discipled. So allow yourself, yeah, to come in low and go, please teach me. Amen?
Amen.
You know what Jesus said? Except you be converted and become as, not just teenagers.
Amen.
As little children. And he's talking to 50-year-old PhDs and bachelors of arts and masters in science and chemical engineers. And he says, start all over, all the way over.
Amen.
That's how you start. Amen. Yeah. Reason why our churches struggle sometimes is because don't we get them coming into church and they go, I know it all already.
Yeah.
Pastor's doing a good job, but I could help him out.
Yeah.
You know what you need to do? You need to shut up. You need to sit down.
Amen.
You need to sing. And you need to learn. Amen? Praise God. And if you do know something, we'll know it without you telling us. Amen? Because a fool is thought to be wise when he keeps his mouth shut. I'm paraphrasing, but you got the idea. He was a learner. Hey, not only are you learning, but somebody's watching you. That's scary. Everyone, there's not a person in this room who lives in an island. We live on an island. But I mean, an island. Where nobody's watching us. Someone younger is someone that you are influencing. And they're watching how you live and how you react to life's problems. You know, as Joshua, my son Joshua, is growing up, I freak out sometimes because I'll give out to my wife, or I'll do this, or I'll get terse on the phone and I'll see Joshua back there and I go, man. I'll kill him when he talks that way But here I am teaching them to talk that way. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. Somebody is watching you react. Someone is learning everything. Ooh, and you're not intentionally teaching them, but you are. Someone will follow your example. And discipleship is far more than what we speak. Our entire life is on display for all to see. How do you measure up? If somebody were to do a checklist and say, yeah, Jim Foley's this and this and this and this, we'd probably be pretty ashamed. If somebody were to tick off all the things that are in our lives, amen. The things that we do, the things that we just take for granted. Listen, somebody's fallen. How worthy are you to be a person worth imitating? Do you want anybody being like you? Do you want anybody talking like you? Huh? I'm not talking about when you're with other brethren. Amen? You know, we learn the code words, you know. Amen! We got a lady in our church who amens all the time. Usually at the wrong times. But God will send them to hell. Amen! It's like, not now. We know the code words, and we know, oh, if I say this word, people, oh, bless God.
Yeah.
That's the new code word, bless God. Now, we know those code words. But do you really want your son talking like you talk when you're around your old buddies? Do you want your daughter thinking it's okay to do as you do? You know what? You know what our wives are? They're a reflection of just how wicked we are.
Yeah.
And if they're mad at you, it's probably for a good reason.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Amen.
Amen.
You're right, preacher.
She's just following the master. Amen. Joshua was able to effectively lead Israel because he himself had been a good follower. You will not find in your Bible, except the Lord Jesus Christ, but even he submitted to his parents. And I mean, you've got to understand just how humiliating it was for him to hear his daddy say, it's time to go to bed. It's time to get up. Go clean your room. He's God. Okay?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
You're telling God what to do. And he said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Joshua was a good follower at first. He was a disciple. All of his life had prepared him for the challenges that he was about to face. What is God preparing you for? You say, man, I've been through hell. Well, good. Maybe you got through it. Praise God. By the grace of God, it's time to start living for God and letting what you went through be a foundation for you to live your life for God.
Amen.
Quit complaining and saying, man, you don't know where I've been. Just make sure you're going someplace. Amen. Be a learner. But it goes on. He took on leadership. He didn't mind leadership. You know what I find here in Ireland? I'm going to tell on you guys. There's an awful attitude of, I'll go only so far.
Yeah.
So, I don't feel qualified. You think I am?
Yeah.
Huh? You Americans, you just eat up with attitude. Yeah, and it stinks. Amen.
Good.
Amen. Most of the time, that gets in the way of God. That don't nothing to be proud about at all. Yeah. Self-confidence is not God confidence.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
So don't sit there and say, well, I don't have self-confidence like so-and-so. Thank God. Because God has to work on us to get rid of that. But here's the thing. When it comes to leadership, you need to be willing to go as far as God wants you to go. Are you listening to me? I'm not going to tell you what you ought to do. I want you to be willing for God to tell you what to do. When I lead somebody to Christ, you know, it's almost always somebody says, so I got to give up my girlfriend. Well, you're going to tell me I can't drink. Well, now you're going to tell me I got to... You know what? You know what I say? I'm just going to tell you, you need to do whatever God tells you to do.
Yeah.
And I'll help you. But whatever God tells you to do, do it. Amen? And we got to stop putting conditions on God, saying, well, I'll get saved as long as God doesn't tell me, and start interfering with my love life, interfering with my late night life, and interfering with my computer, and interfering with my personal time. As long as God doesn't interfere with me, let me tell you, you know what? You better be glad when God interferes with your life. Because the worst kind of life to live is one without God.
Amen.
Thank God. If he's making you uncomfortable this weekend, you ought to be singing and shouting on the ceiling. Because that's what we need. We need God just taking us saying, you remember, when you were a kid, did you ever go into a room and there was a bird, a nice singing bird. and you were 5 years old and you went in there and went feathers everywhere. You know what God wants to do? Did you get the picture? He wants to walk into your nice, calm, quiet, la 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 la, ruffle your feathers, amen? Because when he can do that, he can then get you to look eye to eye and says, now, follow me. Follow me, amen? That's God working on a man, making him a leader. Joshua didn't sit at the back of the crowd. He didn't come in late. He didn't try and hide. How many remember Saul who became king? You know where he was when it came time for him to be a leader? He was hiding. That's the kind of character of this man that the whole nation went, oh, Obama! We want him! You know where Joshua was? He was sitting in the front. He was right next to Moses. Do you know what? I want to say something real plain. I looked at the timeline. Joshua was 56 years old when he got delivered from Egypt. How many of you are under 56 years old? You know, you're blessed because he started to serve God at 56 years old. Some of you got a good head start, amen? I was saved when I was 17. I wish I had been saved at 7, but I didn't get the gospel until I was 17. And listen, if you're 56 years old and you just got saved, bless God, you're in good company. Don't you sit there and look at, well, all my life's behind me. Joshua's just starting. And he's got 54 more years to go. Praise God. Before he hits glory. Amen? He took on leadership. You know, for the first 56 years of his life, he had served Pharaoh. And now for the rest of his life, and it turns out to be 54 years, he's going to serve God. You are never too old to start serving God. But it's the earlier is the better. Amen? Little Kenan, bless God for little kids in our Sunday school. Amen? Bless. Thank God for the kids who are saved from all the scars that we still carry. Amen. And whatever you have to have a Sunday school class full of Indians and full of demons and full of kids who hate your guts. Amen. Because you're sitting on them every Sunday. Amen. To have a class full of those kids is worth it because you're saving them not just from hell, but from a lot of scars. Amen. The earlier the better you can get saved and serve God anytime, but the earlier the better. Let me move on. Moses puts Joshua to the test. I'm giving the background to Joshua because this weekend, if you get this idea of who this guy is, all of a sudden you'll go, yes, there is a practical person that I want to be like. The Bible's full of them, aren't they? They're not all holy saints of God that we can never follow. No, they're real men.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Flesh and blood.
Right.
Messed up. Bless God. Amen. And used of God. Moses put Joshua to the test and says, now Joshua, now Moses does not know that Joshua is supposed to be the leader. Just Moses says, you know, Joshua's stuck here. I got to put him to use. And so Joshua, you're going to be in charge of the army. I want you to go to fight against the Amalekites. And the Amalekites were not nice guys. They must have come from Limerick. These men, these Amalekites, was one of the fiercest armies. There was only one more fierce, and there were two others, the Hittites and the Babylonians. The Amalekites were just a nightmare. They were marauders. They were terrorists, okay? Original terrorists. And Moses says, Joshua, I need you. This is your test. Head out. Take the army. You know what's sweet? Moses didn't just send them out there to the battle. Moses says, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to pray for you. And you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful illustration there. While Joshua was fighting and Moses, his hands were raised, it wasn't a charismatic movement, folks. Okay? There's only one thing better than a charismatic movement, and that's a bowel movement, but we won't go there. All right. Come on, wake up. As he's up there and he's raising those hands, he's not raising his hands in order to get closer to God. He's not raising his hands in order to have one of these feely-goody type of services. You know why he's raising his hands? So that Joshua, while he's out there, he can look up and he says, woo, he's still praying. Woo, amen. Amen. There's teamwork going on. He's looking at his leader and he says, Moses, you still in contact with God? Amen. I'll keep going. Amen. Bless God. He took on the leadership and he won that battle. And after that, Moses says, now Joshua, I'm going to put you to another test. I'm going to set up 12 spies, one from every one of the tribes, and you guys go in there and spy out the land. Survey the land. Tell me what it's like. Tell us how we're going to go in there. What are the best directions, whatever. Of course, you know, not everybody came back with a good report. Amen? Matter of fact, the majority says, can't do it. Can't do it. They're giants in the land. That was stupid. You think about what God already done. Defeated the Egyptian Empire with a lamb. Amen?
Amen?
Fed them every day with manna in the morning. Wake up, and there it is, breakfast, cornflakes on the ground. Amen. Just soggy. Amen. Every evening, quail. You know, somebody figured it out. If you're feeding 1.5 to 2 million people with manna and quail, it's like 300 train cars full of food every day being delivered by God. It was a miracle. I don't know how anybody could not look at the Bible and either think we're insane or we have a great God.
Amen.
Every enemy they encountered there in the wilderness, they defeated. And here they go and they see a few giants. They go, we can't fight the giants. There are two men who passed the test. Amen.
Amen.
Joshua and Caleb. You know, you got to understand, Moses must have been very impressed with Joshua. He kept passing the test. Amen. He took on every leadership role that Moses gave him. And sometimes your pastor is testing you. Sometimes your pastor says, I need you to do this. And you don't know what he's doing, but your pastor is putting you to a test to see if you're ready for leadership. I need you to give your testimony. I'll faint. Okay, failed. We'll try again next year. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes you feel the pressure. Sometimes but that's God and that's your pastor. That's your authority. That's your leader saying, come on, I'm trying to get you up there where God can use you. Amen. So don't freak out when the pressure's on. Amen. You know what I'd like? When we're through, I see that back row empty and all these chairs full up here. Amen. I don't care if you have, never mind. I don't care if you have to sit on the floor. Amen. Leadership. He became the leader that Moses could never be. And this is very important. Folks, God had told Moses that he would lead Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. But did you know Moses blew it? God had made a promise. You will lead them into the promised land. And then God had to stop him. His anger blew it. Not his pornography. Although that can. His anger. How many men? Don't raise your hand. How many men know just how much problem we have with attitude? Sometimes it's depression. A lot of times it's anger. Listen, folks, we can blow it. Moses blew it. And God had to finish the work, though. You know, just as Brother Joseph was saying, God cared about the people more than he cared about the leader. And says, all right, Moses, you're out. I got to get those people into the promised land. And it's a perfect picture. Did you know Joshua... Our Lord took his name from Joshua.
Amen.
Joshua is the Old Testament, the Hebrew name for
Jesus.
Amen. Wow. So, Moses could not bring the children of Israel into the promised land, but Joshua could. That law, those good works could never be accomplished.
Amen.
But Jesus can.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, when you're talking to folks and they're saying, I'm trying to be a good person, say, man, more power to you. Have fun, but you're not going to make it. You can't get in there. By laws of Moses, Moses can't get you into the promised land. Amen. Joshua has to. Amen. You know, there's some things that I'll never be able to do. There's some people I'll never win to Christ, but you'll be able to.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you listening?
Yes.
Americans are not really that good. We just fake it.
Yeah.
We're not really that good at doing what we think we can do. But some of you could do circles around us and win in souls. Some of you could talk for 4 hours. If your wife would let you. Some of you got friends who, if they ever, they already know you're saved. They know you're different. And if you ever just open your mouth and tell them how you got saved, they'd follow you. They wouldn't listen to me for 30 seconds, but they'd listen to you for 2 hours. Do you hear me? There's some Joshuas in here. And some of us, you're going to have to do what we can't do. Are you listening?
Yes.
Where are the Joshuas today? I have plenty of bad leaders, amen? Michael Jackson. You know how many people he's influenced? Huh? Look at the influence of Madonna, Literally, everybody's so... Look at the torment she's going through because they won't let her have an adopted child. This guy named Richard Dawkins. The Dawkins delusion. Sitting there, and he's influencing a generation of people trying to think that they can outthink God and do away with God. They've been doing that, been trying to do that for the last 6,000 years. Yeah. Guess what? He's not leaving. Amen? God is still on the throne.
Amen.
There are a lot of bad leaders who are affecting this generation. How about a guy named Tupac? You know, Joshua one day went, I got a six-pack, amen. Talking about his stomach. Tupac. 50 Cent. Some of you know who those are. He named himself right, amen. He wouldn't give him 50 Cent for a song. Amen. Good night. But do you understand those people are influencing countless millions, aren't they? Bad leaders, man. There are wicked men out there, wicked men who have no control over their lust, who don't care about restraint. Psalms sit there. Is it Psalm 2 says, who is Lord over us? Our tongues are our own, and nobody's going to bind us or control us. That's the attitude, because they got it from the music.
Yeah.
They got it from the television.
Yeah.
We need some Joshuas who will learn well and then lead well in this very dark world that we live in. Oh, we would stop, if we would just stop leaving the world to the devil's crowd and turn this, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, that they turned the world what?
Upside down.
You know what's funny? Upside down. When a Christian gets when a Christian leads somebody to Christ and they turn somebody upside down, you know what they're doing? They're putting them right side up. Because it's all messed up before Jesus comes. Amen. Amen. You're just fixing things. Amen. All right. Now let me give you six characteristics of Joshua. This is my second message. But six characteristics to look for in Joshua as we study this weekend. First of all, he had an awe of God. Joshua loved to be in the presence of the Lord. Some of you, if you had the chance to be in the presence of I am not a sports fan. Yeah, Chelsea and Manchester United. If you could be invited to sit on the bench, be on the front line, to be down on the field with those guys, you'd be a girl. You know, Joshua loved to be in the presence of the Lord. It is a manly thing to worship God.
Amen.
My Bible is full of real men who worshiped God and loved God. Moses up on Mount Sinai, you know where Joshua was? Halfway up the hill. He wasn't allowed to be all the way up there, but he got up as close as he could.
Come on,
amen.
There's a sermon right there.
Oh, yeah, amen. When Moses was talking face to face with God in the tabernacle, Joshua was just outside and he was sitting there and he was just taking in every word, everything that's going on. He was soaking it in, not because of Moses, because God was there.
Yeah.
A leader needs to have devotion, worship, and reverence for God. True spiritual leadership is born from devotion. And true spiritual leadership demands a closeness with God. If you are not close with God, you'll turn into a despot. You'll turn into a selfish, egotistical jerk if you're not walking with God. Because he's the only power that makes us any good at all. So if you forget that you, in your home, I am the man. My wife obeys. My kids obey. If you're not walking with God, you know what? They look at you and they go, well, as soon as I'm out of here, I am clean gone.
That's right.
Amen? They have no respect for you. They just do what you say because you're probably a bully. Joshua got the respect of everybody because he was in awe of God. Some of you still got a problem with your tongue. You take the name of Jesus and use it as a curse word. Some of you use words like, you know, Jenny Mac. And you're trying to cover up the name Jesus Christ. You need to start realizing, you know what? I'm taking his name and slurring it and running it through the filth. I need to hold that name up high. That at the name of Jesus, what should I do? Every knee should bow. We shouldn't, listen, it goes around at the work of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Excuse me. That's my Savior. And He loves you. And He died for you. And I tell you, could you use another name, please? Why don't you use your name? Because He is not to blame for your little problem you're blaming right now. An awe of God. Secondly, characters to look for in Joshua, he had a prayer life that was total dependence upon God. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews, please, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I have not run you through a lot of scripture because I just want to touch on the things that some of these other men are going to preach during this weekend. Hebrews chapter 4, but let me just show you something. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. While you're doing that, let me just say, the backbone of any work done for God is going to be by prayer. The real strength in a church is going to be if that church is a praying church. Amen. I believe in a preaching church. I believe in a Bible teaching church. Yes. But the real backbone of a church is its prayer. Are you listening?
Yes.
If you're wondering why you're not growing, it's because you're not walking with God. You're not depending upon God. And the only way to show great dependence upon God is this way.
Amen.
Oh God, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm totally dependent upon Thee. Without Thee, I can do nothing. Oh God, I'm supposed to be the husband of my wife. I'm supposed to be the father of my children. I'm a fraud. I waste their time. I waste the light that You've given me, oh God. Lord, I need Thee. Lord, they need me to know and to walk with You. Oh God, please forgive me for thinking I can do anything without You. You know what You've just done? You've done everything that it takes to succeed when you start with God. Amen? Are you with me? And Joshua did that. There was one time Joshua didn't. Joshua got a little cocky there. Joshua went into the promised land, and God told him, you're going to do this, you'll win, and he won. And then Joshua got busy on his laptop working on the next victory. And some men came in and said, Joshua, Ai's waiting to be fought. And Joshua says, well, go fight it. And they went off, and he forgot to pray. Because if he had prayed, the Lord would have said, better not go fight. There's sin in the camp. But he forgot to pray. And when they came back with their tails between their legs, because a little bitty, tiny little spit on the map defeated the mighty army of God. You know what Joshua did? He went back to prayer. He fell on his face and he said, oh God, we cannot do this without Thee. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Prayer. Look at Hebrews 4:16. Let us, not just the preachers, let us therefore come boldly, I like that word, courageously, confidently, unto the throne, not of judgment. Amen. Aren't you glad you're on the right side of the throne? I was under the wrath of God. Amen. But now I'm on the grace of God's side. Amen. Come under the throne of grace that we may obtain. Oh, boy. Somebody asks you, and we've got this rule at our church. Somebody says, how you doing? What's our phrase? Better than I deserve. Amen. I'm sick and tired of somebody saying, oh, not too bad. That sounds so pitiful. I'm not too bad. Why don't you say you're better than you deserve because of God's mercy? Because of God's mercy, you can obtain it and find grace to help in time of need. And that's usually 24/7. Amen? Prayer and dependence upon God. On the eve of the Battle of Jericho, Joshua, when he met Jesus Christ, he said, I am the captain of the host of the army of the Lord. You know what he did? He said, I need you. What do you want me to do? I'll do whatever you say. He had a dependence upon God. Third, he had a faith in God instead of his self and instead of his abilities. Faith is that driving force of a spiritual leader. You know, some people have a vision, and I appreciate people have vision, but vision is different than faith. You know what a lot of people have? They have a dream. I have a dream. We're going to win this team. You know what that is? That's your own design. You know what faith is? Faith never makes up what they want. Faith just looks at what God promises and says, that's what I'll trust. And if God says it, then that settles it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
A lot of people have a lot of dreams. We're going to do this. Well, amen. But what does God say?
Yeah.
Faith is just simply obeying God. And if Amen. God says do it, then you do it. That's faith.
Amen.
And you say, but there's nothing there. Good. Amen. God's got to show up then. But that's, you're just doing what God says. And Joshua, is the pictures are immense throughout the whole, from Moses' life and Joshua's life. They're marching around a city with two sets of walls, one of them 20 feet thick, and they're expecting that by marching, that this thing is going to collapse. And they're going, it's impossible, it's impossible. But they're going to do it because God said it, and their little bit of faith worked, didn't it? Amen?
Yes.
I appreciate a leader who lives by faith.
Yeah.
Amen. He had a faith in God. He could have, you know, I really see him there in Joshua chapter 5 when he's sitting there around the fire and Jesus shows up. And I like how Jesus shows up. He didn't show up long-haired hippie. Hey, dude, what's happening? Let's have a blast. Come on. You know, Jesus shows up. It's the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament.
Amen.
And when he shows up, his sword is in his hand. He's ready to fight. That's my Lord, by the way. And you know what? Joshua's got a sword, man. Joshua can fight. He never met a man he couldn't beat. Are you listening? But when he met Jesus, he dropped the sword, he hit the dirt, and he says, Lord, you tell me what to do.
Amen.
He had all the abilities. And God said, don't need them. Amen? Some of you are so smart. Some of you could run circles around Einstein. But God doesn't need your smartness. Amen? You know all God needs? Himself. That's all He needs. And if you want to go along with the ride, He'll blow you away with fun. If you just go with Him. Amen? That's faith. He had a faith in God instead of in His abilities. You know, here's Joseph up here and he's singing. Here's these guys and they're up here singing, playing the guitar. You know, God doesn't need a guitar player. He's glad for him. I'm glad for him. Amen. But let me just tell you something real simple. He doesn't need performance.
Amen.
He just needs availability.
Amen.
He needs somebody who'll get up there and just sing from the heart. And you can tell when somebody's singing from the heart.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. See, I get up here and I sing. You go, he can't even play the radio. But when somebody's got their heart in it, you go, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Oh, that is a blessing. Amen. Look, you're not going to like this. But the characteristics to look for in Joshua was expendability. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. I'll show you this. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, and we'll be through here in just 2 minutes. Joshua chapter 1, and then also find Daniel chapter 2. I want to show you something. You're not going to like this, gentlemen. Joshua chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 2. All right. First Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is what?
Dead.
Now that's a clincher. That's a revelation. Moses is die. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. Let me show you something. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. Speaking of God, look at verse 20. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And watch this. He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings.
Amen.
And setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And he goes on and on and on. I want you to understand. You know, God raised up Moses and then God said, time to do away with him. And let me just say something real plain. We're not, us American missionaries are not the answer for Ireland.
Amen.
We are expendable.
Yes, amen.
And my mom used to tell me, she said, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. My mom's this high, amen. You know, God says the same thing. He says, I brought you in the world and I can take you out. And you need to live very close to God and realize that any one moment He could say, that's enough. And Joshua knew that when Moses died, that he would die also. He didn't get in and say, now I can take over. Now I can live. I can do what I want. No, he knew he was expendable. And the great thing about it was he knew that Moses had blown it. And thankfully, it scared him. Let me tell you something great about David. David, this great king, one of the greatest kings of Israel of all time. You know why David always got right? I mean, David was a much worse sinner than Saul. Amen? You ever read there? He was a much worse sinner. But you know whatever happened, what would happen in David's heart and his mind whenever he, that Holy Spirit would begin to convict his heart? He'd remember something. Where Saul sinned and never got right. King Saul blew it. And that's when David began to pray there in Psalm 51. He says, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Now, no Christian can lose their salvation, but I want you to understand, as far as David's concerned, he saw God abandon Saul
yes.
to death
yes.
on a battlefield in absolute shame. And he says, "God, don't do that to me. Oh, God, I got to get right. I know what you can do. And I know that nothing in me, you're not keeping me around because I'm great. It's only by your mercy you keep me." And Psalm 51 is a great psalm about, I remember Saul. And Joshua, when he gets a little bit too far ahead, he remembered Moses. You know, he just knew, I'm not invincible.
Amen.
So you need to stay right. And I just say this. You are invincible as long as God can use you. I'm going to say it real clear.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be as busy and stuck into as many things as possible so God can't look down and say, "Well, I can't get rid of him." I got to keep him around, amen? But I also convinced myself, knowing that I am not the end all, there are other men who need to be ready to take over at any minute. And that's what we're working towards this weekend. You learn from the past. I won't go through it because I know you're getting tired. But Joshua always remembered how God had brought him out of Egypt, how God had blessed and supplied every one of his needs, how God had given them victory after victory. I'm going to tell you something that you need more than you need food. You need a little notebook where you write down answers to prayer. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Top of that book, the first thing you ought to write, saved. 15th of June, 1980. God answered a prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? And you need a book that stirs up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And you just look back and you just remind yourself, God has been good to me. Look back at the past. It'll encourage you. And Joshua could look back and say, God will not fail us. Another thing that you'll look in the characteristic, he prepared for the future. He prepared. A successful leader always prepares for the future. He plans, he prepares for success. I don't plan to fail, amen? Most of us fail because we never plan. Are you listening? Some of you just go with your feelings. Some of you just go with the urge. The reason why you end up down at the pub, the reason why you end up sitting there at 3 a.m. in the morning watching some filthy television program is because you have no purpose, you have no plan to get up in the morning.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
Amen.
You need to have a future that you're going, you know what, my kids know I'm sitting here watching this filth. My wife's sitting up in bed again, and I'm sitting down here. You know what I'm talking about. And you think, well, I'm the man. You're a jerk.
Yes.
Amen. You need a plan for the future. You don't have a plan. You need to be able to say, well, I don't have a job, but I'm going to live like I do.
Amen.
And I may not be able to get paid for my work, but I'm going to work.
Yeah, amen.
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 You didn't have a plan. You didn't have something you strive for. You need a mountain to climb. Amen. God bless you. You need something that will focus you instead of sitting there, I've been without a job for 6 years. Well, I know why. Amen. You know what any economy, you know the success of any economy is built upon hard work. End of story.
Amen.
Not stimulus packages,
amen.
Not free money,
yeah.
Not free jobs. It is hard work. Amen.
Capitalize it, brother. Amen.
Hadn't heard that one before. Do you know how, never mind. I don't know how to finish that one, amen. Last one. He stayed faithful all his life. Go to Joshua 23. Joshua 23 and verse 1. One of the greatest things about Joshua, and I want you to emulate, is he stayed faithful all his life. You know what I like about this men's retreat so far? A lot of you I know. I'm glad for new ones.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
But I'm not glad about losing anyone. I like faithfulness. Our theme is faithful men, isn't it? And I'm not talking about being faithful. Well, you know, I'm not working this week, so I might as well go. I'm talking about faithfulness, whether it costs you something. Amen? Look at Joshua chapter 23, verse 1. It says this, and it came to pass a long time after that, the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. He calls for all the elders, and he starts to talk to them. He starts to review history. But I want you to go to chapter 24 now, in verse 14. He begins to sum it up. And he says this. Now, therefore, he's looking on that crowd of 2 million people. And he says, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. What are you doing with that filthy idol that you kept? And that little Buddha and those old magazines and all of the things that you kept from your old life, put away all those old idols from the other side of the flood back before the Jordan River and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we, as always, will serve the Lord. You know what? He didn't just one time stand up there and say, we're going to serve the Lord, when he hadn't already been. You know what? The greatest thing you could ever do is be faithful. You may not be able to accomplish much, but when you can say, but I've been faithful, that gives you some self-worth that nobody else can give you. When you can just... every week be in church, every day reading your Bible, every chance you get being a witness, when you're just faithful, Satan can't rob that from you. Joshua was faithful. These are the leadership characteristics we want to develop in us this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to be here, be challenged. Challenged out of our back row mentality, challenged out of our sin and our comfort in that sin. Make us ashamed of who we are, God. Okay, so we're not starting off like Joshua, but we want to end up like him. Ireland doesn't need a bunch of bums, a bunch of people who go to church. I'm glad for everybody who comes to church, and I love everybody in my church. But God, you know, going to church doesn't reach a world. We need some men. And we're glad for every woman who's saved and serving God. But we need some men who will say, God, I want to just get as close to you. I want to walk with you. I want to do what you want me to do, no matter what the cost. I'm willing to give up for you. Because there's nothing better. There is no greater life than the Christian life. I've tried the drink. I've tried the drugs. I've tried the empty internet. I've tried the girls. I've tried everything, and I just come away with shame. This is the first time. Oh, serving God is the only time, the first time I've ever felt joy. Only time I've ever felt lasting thrill and excitement and accomplishment. And Lord, may it never leave me. Father, please bless these men. This week, we need it like we need to breathe. In Jesus' name, amen.